Greetings, friends and children of all ages. I am Archangel. Welcome to the main event. So, what could I tell you in the space of a few minutes that would prove my assertion and open your eyes to the reality that we exalt females and devalue males? Two words. Male expendability. Male expendability proves male devaluation. It proves my narrative. We deem males and male life as disposable, and we sacrifice them for female lives. There it is, point blank. Males have always given their lives for society and females. Meaning that male mortality, in terms of simple value of personhood, is worth less than female mortality. Society deems individuals of lesser value as expendable. Thus, males are expendable and females are not. That little cream-filled pastry right there is bottom line ground zero irrefutable proof of male devaluation in our culture. No? Okay then, which sex fights the wars and has done so throughout history? Which sex, throughout time, has met grisly, horrifying deaths protecting hearth and home and the delicate flowers living there? Which sex has had to endure torments, trials, and emotional horrors while defending homelands or ideals or nations in order to keep women and children safe? Which sex has been plucked from their homes against their free will in order to be disfigured in disagreements of someone else's design? Which sex is cataloged by law in case they need to be forced into future conflict? Which sex exposes their health, well-being, and lives on the job, working to maintain society and the luxuries that we enjoy? Which sex leads suicide statistics? And really, why wouldn't males kill themselves? I mean, after all, they are worth less, and so they really won't be missed. Another male drone will rise to fill their lack of contribution to society, right? Which sex has been sliced up, beat up, maimed, and killed, jumping in front of danger in order to protect which sex from village invaders, marauding Vikings, plundering pirates, malevolent armies, home invaders, muggers, and wild animals? Which sex uses their own body to cover the other sex to protect them against knives and arrows and bullets, tornadoes, building collapses, or falling objects? Go ahead. Tell me, which sex dies en masse for the welfare of the other? Yeah, that's right. I don't care about which sex said what to who, or about feminism's made-up male privilege or patriarchal oppression. This is deeper than whether females get catcalled by chauvinistic males, or whether females are hypergamous. This is ground zero of human life worth. Which sex dies that society might live? Expendability proves male devaluation, and devaluation promulgates continued expendability. We deem males expendable, which slanders them and their value. Then we use that slander to further disparage male value in order to justify further usage of male life. It's vicious how we use male life and always have throughout history. That is truth. The only thing left to argue is why. Why are males expendable? Why do we justify their disposability by saying males are bred for war? That their purpose is protection? Is it the strength issue? Does male utility simply boil down to one evolutionary feature of males? Increased size and physical stature? Is male disposability extracted simply because guys have a few more vertical inches and bigger biceps? Are Clydesdales harnessed with labor simply because they were not born shrunken Shetlands? Perhaps in the time of swords and shields, it took a little more strength physically to wield these cumbersome instruments in battle. Hence, the males did this. Or perhaps opponents of equal size were deemed standard to era-specific battles. You did not want to take an enemy of Chihuahuas up against an army of Rottweilers. Plus, back then, females were agreeable to infantilization from males in exchange for provision. They didn't have suffrage or alimony or child support or affirmative action for women, so women were more dependent upon playing submissive in order to garner male protection. Thus, males were simply upholding their end of traditionalism with chivalry. Though traditionalism and chivalry was just as male abusive and gynocentric then as it is today. But it's different today. Today we have technology. So, why are males still disposable? Because, quite simply, they lack uteruses and mammaries. Males are disposable simply and only because they do not gestate offspring. That is another truth. That is the nature argument. But, you see, there are discrepancies in our logic, for at the same time we unnaturally elevate females in importance and bestow them with unwarranted and superfluous entitlements not found in nature, then we turn around and justify the expending of male life because of nature. Females artificially propped, males naturally disposable. Females, goddesses in flowing luminescent robes with golden tiaras. Males, shovels and shields. Really? So, let's get this straight. Our consensus regarding these sexes' relevance is, essentially, that females are built to give birth and males are built to die for those females because they are taller, with more muscle? Well, hot diggity dog, why didn't you just say so? Heck yeah, that's more than fair. Females meant to produce life, males meant to sacrifice theirs. Yeah, think about that. Let's consider the merits of that argument. I can point out the anatomical organs of female anatomy meant to produce life. However, I am not aware of any anatomical organs on males meant to take sword thrusts, or impaling arrows, or bullets, or RPG rounds, or IED shrapnel. Females have biological partiality and the provision to gestate life. Males do not have a biological partiality to a mine collapse. Males do not have a biological advantage to burns resultant from rushing into a burning building to save occupants. Males do not have any natural bolster-designed advantage when jumping in front of a knife to spare some random female harm. Males have no advantageous biological-specific anatomy meant to take machine gun fire. Males have no anatomical organs that give them enhancement against falling objects or animal attacks that they shield females from. So, yes, there are a few little pesky pieces of proof that indeed females are partial to and favorably equipped to produce life. But I have yet to see proof that males are built to die for those females. Yet, that is exactly what we use males for. Protection and provision. And, at the end of the day, humanity ultimately uses males for their mortality. Oh, well, we use females for baby making, right? Well, for one, who is we? You think males use females? Really? Which males? The males who are dying protecting women? Or perhaps the males who are hemorrhaging their life essence, slaving away to keep society functioning? Or maybe you're thinking of the emasculated males who have no power in society, relationships, or female reproductive rights? No, we do not use females for procreation. They actively want to procreate. There is no usage. They want to produce children. There is a relevant saying that comes to mind in regards to this example. You can't rape the willing. Moreover, even the females that do not procreate, well, we still exalt and protect them with male life. So, females can fulfill their biological purpose or not. Either way, we protect and provide for them. Meanwhile, males, even though they are not biologically outfitted to die for others, well, we still vampirize from them the only thing they have to offer this world, their lives. Males sacrifice their lives protecting females. We can cheerlead male disposability through ideals under self-righteous umbrellas of family, country, religion. We can dress up our consumption of male life with any patriotic, heartstring-pulling, chest-thumping, man-up phraseology that we like. It's all just window dressing to divert attention away from reality that males, whether fighting off nature, defending females, or heading off to war, males are essentially sacrificing their well-being, their very lives, for females. The most obvious reason being that females are so closely aligned with children, and males truly want to protect offspring, so females get protection by proxy. All gratuitous debate and asinine justifications aside, either way you look at it, males die so that females may live. If people would get their heads out of their asses, you would see that males die in droves whilst building, maintaining, and protecting society. We discard male life, and we know it, which is why we scarcely flinch at casualty statistics from armed conflicts throughout history. X number of men died in this war, X number of men died in that war. It's all just letters on a page to us. How can we so coldly, so maliciously dismiss the lives of humans with Y chromosomes? By what device do we barely pay attention to the dozen or so guys that were killed in such and such mine collapse down in Central America? By what deficiency in human compassion and fairness do we simply write off the anonymous male giving his last full measure to intervene and protect an anonymous female outside a bar or train station? Why do we not hold females to the same standards of protection and intervention for anonymous males? Do we even consciously register the hordes of men killed in the line of duty every day, protecting, serving, and maintaining the peace and extravagance of our decadent world? These are not beings, but rather simply numbers on a page, faceless statistics that cause no emotional stirring, because gynocentrism does not care about them. We do not experience their horror or suffering, their physical agony, as they expire in the service of others. We only look at the big picture. Did that male life achieve its objective? Did we win the war? Did he save the girl? We don't care that each one of these casualty statistics was a man that laughed or had favorite colors or foods or music. You see, when you devalue something, you cannot afford to identify with it. You do not befriend and emotionally invest in livestock. They are simply lesser creatures meant for dinner plates around the community. And so we cannot personalize males or the casualty reportings of male life extinguished while in the line of duty, lest we begin caring about their mistreatment. And then when we cherish both sexes' mortality equitably, then whose lives will we use as fodder for human business? Females? Feminists can argue with traditionalists, who can butt heads with social justice warriors, who can fight with men's rights activists, who might find hope in anti-feminism, which is really just another facet of male disposability. All of this is merely surface conflict over rights and protocols. Yes, these things are important, but really, we only debate symptomology, whereas the disease is that male life is worth less than female life. You want proof? You want evidence that males are maligned, that males have a true beef, and that male empowerment is not simply about ugly, gay, jaded woman haters that can't get a date? Well, here it is. This is the cold, hard reality of existence. Males are and always have been disposable, expendable, and discardable. And nothing anyone can put forth from any paradigm or belief structure will change this singular fact of humanity. Male life is disposable, and just as with cheap plastic razors or paper plates and sporks, that which is disposable is not valued. It is economy, convenience, and short-lived usage. Male life is deemed expendable. Who has died by the millions in wars throughout history? That right there is all the proof needed. When compared to females, male life has the worth of plastic razors and paper plates. Use, discard, then get another. Go on, try and argue that this must be, for if we did not dispose of male life to protect female life, our population would seriously dwindle. Yet, if we sacrificed female life equally with male life, then we might have reduced populations of caring, ethical beings, rather than out-of-control populations running on gynocentric male devaluing constructs that encourage negativity and consumption of the planet's resources. You see, gynocentrism leads to higher population numbers, yet you only need higher population numbers when you intend hierarchy, such that you have an elite ruling class, and thus you need vast numbers of slaves. And you want those slaves to procreate and create more slaves. More slaves, more control. And in a world where money is God, money creates the elite. Thus, gynocentrism is one method which drives population expansion as well as enacts slave control. Why do we need 7 billion people without morality or empathy rather than a global population of 1 or 2 billion who actually value life equally between the sexes? There is no justification for male disposal. Indeed, perhaps females are predisposed to child production, but males are not predestined nor equipped with specialized anatomy to die better than females. The result of male devaluation is that we do not bestow value upon males simply for existing. Male value comes from the utility they provide. they are only as valuable as the protection and service they provide females and society. Sadly, males are only valued when they are dying. Females are valued because they squeeze out kids. Males are valued when they are dying in protection of those females squeezing out kids. Females are valued simply for being. Males are valued for doing. Well, as much as murdering, raping, prematurely ejaculating gorillas can be appreciated. And if one male fails to serve, the rest of the sex has been indoctrinated to rush in and fill the vacuum left by fallen males so that they too may fall on their swords for the enrichment of everyone else. And because it is wrong to devalue males, there is a never-ending renewable plethora of slander to compel male utility and their ultimate disposability with. Dudes are ugly, smelly, and redundant. Males are disposable because of patriarchy, hypergamy, human tendency towards gynocentrism, misandry. They are reproduction non-essentials. I mean, take your pick. We devalue the entire male sex at every opportunity. Oh, and don't worry about our using of male life, because males are the unnecessary, unneeded, dispensable pieces of reproduction. We simply need to tuck away the swimmers of a few alpha males into the freezer, or females drain dry the handful of remaining post-war males, and our populations will be fine. In fact, we can stand to lose 200, 300, 500 million guys with no appreciable impact on our luxurious standard of living, especially in modern society, since everything is built already. Whatever the justification issued, the end result remains upheld. Males are ultimately this planet's expendable resource, bottom line. Moreover, we enforce this expendability in our social protocols. Argue all you want. Society enforces male disposability. We enforce it. It makes no difference whether you agree philosophically. Male disposability is enforced in material reality. Don't believe me? Just test it. When there is some sort of crisis or disaster, it's always women and children first. Whether a building is burning, a ship is sinking, a bomb threat has been received, or a tavern has been overrun by flatulent goats. It has always been women and children first. I mean, children, yeah, obviously, but women always come before males in terms of importance and worth concerning triage determinations in emergencies. That, right there, quite eloquently, demonstrates our cultural hierarchy of importance. When push comes to shove, what's more acceptable to liquidate? The Ferrari Enzo or the 1982 Pontiac station wagon with genuine imitation wood peeling off? You don't label expendable that which you value absolutely. Thus, when push comes to shove, males are expendable, females are non-expendable. Males are mistreated, maligned, abused, and disparaged. And the proof is male disposability. That's it. End of story. My friends, stand with me, live free.